In our first reading today from the prophet Isaiah, the prophet gives us some of the signs that will accompany the arrival of the Messiah. So we're told that he will open the eyes of the blind, he'll clear the ears of the deaf, that the crippled will be able to walk, even leap, and that he'll loosen the tongue of those unable to speak. So in other words, miracles will accompany the arrival of the Messiah. And in our gospel today, we hear of one of those miracles recorded in the gospels, the healing of the man who's both deaf and mute. So one of the things I think we can ask, or that we might find coming up inside of us as we hear these stories of the miracles of Jesus, is we might ask the question, do they still happen today? Why do they seem so prevalent in the Gospels, yet they aren't necessarily prevalent in our lives? We don't necessarily see them. So maybe some of us are even thinking about this today. Or maybe we ourselves have asked for healing and don't feel like we received the healing that we were asking for. I feel like as a priest, I've seen a lot of healings, not necessarily very dramatic ones, like the kind of healing that can be used in someone's canonization, the kind of miracle that's needed for a saint to be made a saint, where there's no medical or scientific explanation for the complete healing that a person's experienced. But I've certainly experienced, I think, what I would call miracles. For example, in one of my past parishes, there was a teenage boy who was just really struggling with digestive issues, had so much pain eating, and so he lost a ton of weight, and he's just clearly unhappy. And so his parents asked if he could be anointed, and so his brothers and sisters and his parents, I think he has like six other brothers and sisters, so the whole family came into the church, and I celebrated the anointing. But it was a really beautiful experience because all of the family, the parents, his brothers and sisters, were really gathered around him, really intensely praying for him during that sacrament. And his problems went away immediately. And just like the doctors didn't know why he was experiencing that in the first place, then when he went back, they didn't know why he wasn't experiencing that anymore. It certainly seemed like a miracle. And I mean, that was probably almost 10 years ago. And now he's getting married this December. He's really happy, healthy young man. Certainly other things I've experienced too. Even just last week, we had a training for prayer teams here at the church, and there were people from each of the three parishes of our area faith community, and there was a deacon that came and spoke to us from the diocese. But then at the end of the meeting, after talking about healing, the deacon asked, well, does anybody here need healing? And of course there were multiple hands that went up, because I think we all feel like we really could use healing in some, even physical healing in some way. And so I brought someone forward, and he grabbed a couple other people, and they prayed over this woman, and her pain went away. She said she had been years since she wasn't aware of pain in her knee, and then it was just gone. Now, I haven't checked back with her for the past few days, but sometimes we can forget about the power of a prayer, because Jesus is real and he's alive. And Jesus didn't ascend to heaven saying, bye-bye and good luck, everybody, but he ascended into heaven so that he could send his Holy Spirit into our hearts through the church so that he would be even more active in the world now that we're not limited to his physical presence. So he lives with the Father in heaven, but they send the Holy Spirit down. It's the Spirit of Jesus to be with us, and he's really here. He comes to us in the sacraments, of course, so it's really good that we're at Mass because it's really Jesus who comes here. And we can bring to him our need for healing as we encounter him in this Mass. But it's also the prayer that we can make for one another is also so important and powerful. Jesus says in the gospel, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, he says. I'm there. He doesn't say, I'm partially there, or I'm kind of there. I might be there. He says, I'm there in the midst of you when two or three gather. So that's what we did the other night. We had little teams of three or four people just praying over people. And I wasn't really even involved. So it's not like the priest comes in and does his magic all the time, but it's lay people who are baptized, who are praying. God hears your prayers too, especially when we pray together for a particular cause. So it's really good, I think, for us to see Jesus performing these miracles and then to remember that Jesus is alive and active in his church and that these same kinds of healings do happen today, but sometimes we don't ask for the healing that we need. And sometimes we don't pray for others that they may be healed. One of the things I think is interesting about this passage is that it's not like the deaf man who has a speech impediment himself goes to Jesus, but we're told that people bring him to Jesus. And then what do? The people beg him to lay his hands on him. So this means it's the community who has compassion on this person and believe that Jesus can do something for him, and they go. They bring him to Jesus, beg Jesus to heal him. And so it's really their faith that touches Jesus' heart so that he heals them, heals the man. It's similar to another healing story in Mark's gospel. This is the healing of the paralyzed man. And the paralyzed man had four friends who were carrying him on a stretcher. And they went to the house where Jesus was, but there were so many people in the house and around the house, there was no way to access Jesus inside the house. So what do? They go up to the roof. They remove the top of the roof. These are pretty good friends who are willing to do this. They get the stretcher up there. Apparently, they're able to do that without the paralyzed man falling off the stretcher, thankfully. And then they lower the stretcher through the roof of the ceiling. And what we're told is that when Jesus saw the faith of the man's friends, he said to the man, be healed. And so it wasn't even the man's own faith that moved Jesus' heart. It was the faith of his friends who brought him there. So good for us to think about. So good for us, like many of the people in the gospel who need healing, to bring our needs directly to Jesus, crying out for healing. But, you know, for us to be aware of our brothers and sisters, people in our community who need healing, and to say, come to church with me, or let me call Father, or can I pray with you? What a beautiful parish and church we would have if we felt free to pray with and for one another, asking God to give this kind of healing that so many of us so desperately need. So one last thing I want to say about this gospel is that it's very clear that the physical healings that we see in the gospel are also symbolic of the spiritual healing that we need. So we might feel like we're relatively healthy and thank God, not necessarily in need of physical healing, but we all need spiritual healing in some way. So as we see people healed of physical blindness in the gospel, we might experience a spiritual blindness in ourself. We might really struggle to see God in our life. Where's God? Where's God in the midst of this very difficult situation that I'm in? I don't know. We can have a spiritual blindness, unable to see him. We can certainly as easily have a spiritual deafness. I don't hear God's voice. Or I need to make a decision about something, or I'm struggling with something, and I don't know what God wants me to do. It's like I'm deaf to him. I can't hear the voice of Jesus. Certainly we can relate to this kind of spiritual ailment, not being able to hear. If we can't hear Jesus speaking to us, well, it's surely going to be difficult for us to speak about Jesus, so we might have like a spiritual muteness, an inability to speak about God or to give helpful counsel because we can't hear God ourselves. So we don't know what to say in this situation. We might, like the crippled in the gospel who are healed, we might know that we need to follow Jesus, but we just struggle so much to follow Jesus. Maybe it's a struggle with habitual sin. We know what we should or shouldn't be doing, and we just can't. It's like we have this obstacle. We're crippled in this area. We can't follow Jesus. So all of these are examples of real spiritual ailments that I bet each one of us here, if we're honest with ourselves, can relate to one or the other, if not all four. Jesus wants to heal us of this too. So it's a good thing we're here this morning at Mass, because Jesus is really here today. He comes to us truly in the Eucharist. He's so happy when, first of all, we can recognize our need for healing and then just bring him our need. Like so many people bring Jesus their needs in the gospel with humility and confidence in him. So today, as we approach Jesus, let's ask him for the healing that we need. And maybe today, too, we can be like the friends of this guy in today's gospel who bring their friend to Jesus and beg Jesus to lay his hand on him. Maybe in our hearts is someone in our life, someone that we know desperately in need of healing. We can bring that person to Jesus in our heart. So let's ask for the humility and the confidence that we need today in Jesus. Jesus, who healed the deaf and the mute man 2,000 years ago. Jesus, whose same healing power is present and available for us in the church to those who ask.